I bring grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, by your cross we are saved. By your cross we are restored to life with you and your Father for all eternity. Help us, like Paul, to boast in the cross and it alone. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning we will be focusing on Galatians chapter 6, so if you have your Bible with you or your phone, you can pull that out and turn to it and follow along as necessary. But it's quite an interesting book, the book of Galatians. Paul is writing to a group of Christians who at first received the gospel and celebrated in it and reveled in the joy of salvation in Jesus. But once Paul left, some other people came along and they began to open the door to Jesus and. When it comes to salvation, you need Jesus and. That's a dangerous little word, those three little letters, adding something on to what Jesus had done. And so the whole book of Galatians is really a treatise on why the cross and the cross alone is the means of our salvation and the means of true freedom in Jesus. And wherever that and came in, we're actually in danger of losing the true gift that God has given us. And it builds to chapter 6, and in fact, if you've got your Bible with you, the last verse of chapter 5, chapter 5 verse 26 says, let's not become conceited and envying and provoking one another. And then it launches into the passage that we heard. And so out of this gospel of freedom, and people were turning again to other things to measure whether or not they were loved by God, were chosen by him, were part of his family. And they were using these other means to measure themselves against each other. And so it became a source of either pride or envy. Now, if we are truly free in the gospel of Christ, then pride and envy have no place. If we are all equally forgiven by what Jesus has done for us, there is no room. And yet it had crept into the church, and if we're honest, it creeps into our lives quite often. And so the reminder in Galatians is not one limited to its own time and space, but to all of us as we try to navigate life, to hear the warning and hear the alarm bells that pride and envy set off. Because pride is a superiority complex. However it manifests itself, pride is saying, look at me, I am better than either I was or those who I'm around or whatever else. Pride is a superiority complex that puts us above all else and we boast in ourselves. Envy is the opposite. Envy is the inferiority complex. We look at others, what they've got, what they've earned, what they've been given, the charmed life, the good life that we see, and we go, well, because they've got that and I don't, clearly there must be something wrong with me. Clearly there's something that I've done that has brought this on myself. And so we put ourselves down. We diminish ourselves. We diminish the role that we play in God's kingdom and in his creation because what we see with our eyes tells us that obviously we are missing something. And Paul writes into a space where that had become the argument of God's people. With the cross and with the idea of circumcision. I mean, which grown adult would go, oh yeah, we need a bit of that. And yet it had snuck back in amongst a whole lot of other laws and rules and rituals where people were saying, see, yeah, you've received the cross, but you haven't done this or you haven't met this standard or you're not here. And Paul writes into that space going, we're not here to please people. You know, Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, I'm not here to please you. My life isn't about compelling you to look at me and say how great I am. The only means of boasting, of true freedom, of experiencing life in its fullness is not when you're pleased with me, but when God is. The gospel of Jesus is true freedom. And what's amazing is Paul doesn't say that he boasts in Jesus. He doesn't say that he boasts in Jesus' victory. He doesn't say that he boasts in what Jesus has given him in his life and the way he's living. Paul says he boasts in one thing and one thing only. He says, I boast in the cross of Christ. Now, at this point, it wasn't even good to mention the cross in polite conversation. Like, you wouldn't even talk about crucifixion. Like, you wouldn't bring it up at around the dinner table. Oh, did you see he got crucified this week? It was just so abhorrent, so disgusting that nobody in good company would even mention it. And yet Paul dares to write to a Roman colony and say, this is what we boast in. The cross of Jesus is the thing that we hold up above all else, where he suffered, where he died, where he carried the sin of the world on his own shoulders. That despicable act, that unmentionable death. Not only will we talk about it, but it will be the only thing that we boast in. It'll be the only thing that we point to say, see, there I find reason to boast. And so Paul boasts in the cross of Christ. And what does he mean by boasting? You know, it's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible, boasting in God. From Jeremiah, where the prophet writes, let the rich not boast in his money, let the powerful not boast in his strength, let him who boasts, boast in knowing the Lord and understanding him. And all through the New Testament, when Paul writes of boasting, he's saying, don't boast in yourself and your own achievements, because that will only lead again to slavery. But we boast in the Christ. And what it is it's actually, it's got its basis in a military setting. To boast is when you would hold up whatever's going to give you victory. So you think David and Goliath, the Philistines, they pushed Goliath forward as the one who was going to get them victory. And so he would go forward and they would all shout and bang their spears, and the Israelites would cower at the boast that Goliath made, that he would defeat any enemy. If you think in world history, so when Constantine had the vision of seeing the cross painted on the shields, and God told him, in this sign you will conquer. And so Constantine made every Roman soldier paint a cross on his shield. And so when they went into battle, they won a battle that they were destined to lose. But the cross on the shield became the boast. It's going to be by this symbol that we win. That's what we mean by boast. And so for Paul to write that we boast in the cross is to say that we are going to elevate the cross above all else. And we're going to say, this is how we will understand life. This is how we will succeed. This is how we will know true life and hope. It is putting up a standard that we cling to so that whatever comes, we have confidence in it, in what we're boasting in. And so Paul writes, if you want to understand Christian freedom, then you need to learn to boast in the cross of Christ. Because if we turn to other things, if we turn to the things that we are proud of in our own lives and we boast in them, then they gain control in our lives. They become something that we are enslaved to. And we always then have to uphold that image or uphold that standard, that no matter what, we can't let anyone think that we slip, because that's the thing that I'm putting out to say, this is what proves that I'm successful or meaningful or have a real role in the world. And so Paul says, no, turn around and boast in the cross. And why do we boast in the cross of Christ? Because it's in the cross of Christ that God boasts in us. It's in the cross of Christ that God looks at us and he goes, that's my boy, that's my girl, that's my child. Look at them, they are beautiful. Look at them, they are amazing. Look at them, they are perfect. And it is only in the cross where God promises to do that. It's not when we seem to get things right, when we live a good life, when we get all our ducks lined up, that God says, that's my boy, that's my girl. But it's when Jesus dies in our place and gives us his righteousness that God boasts in us. And as a parent, those of us who are parents, we love to boast in our children, don't we? I worked at a school. We had 400 parents whose kids were the most unique, the most special, the most amazing child. And then you get the next parent, and their child is we love doing it. We love upholding and telling the story of how amazing our children are. And that's precisely what God does for us. But he does it through the cross of Jesus, where he brings forgiveness and hope to us. And then as children, is there any greater moment growing up than when you can see that your parents are truly proud of what you've done? You know those moments. And it's even better when they're telling someone else. you know, and you overhear mum or dad talking and they're going, you know, they did this or they said that, and it was just, bro, so proud of the way my child behaved. As a child, to hear that kind of an accolade, that makes you sore. And that's precisely the power of the cross. That Jesus has done that for us, and that's the place where God is proud of us. That is where God boasts in us. That is what makes us who we are, and God delights in us because of the cross. And so when we begin to look for other things to boast in, we're actually moving away from the place where we are truly free to just enjoy God's pride, God's delight, and God's love for us. When we learn to boast in the cross, to say it is at that place that I know who I am in God and I know what He's done for me and I know nothing can take it away from me, it doesn't matter anymore about the strength of our faith or the strength or the prowess of our ability to believe in God or to talk about Him or to live the right life or to do any of that, because it's the object of our faith that makes the difference, not the strength. It's in Jesus alone and what He has accomplished and what He has done that we can know the gift of God. And so that's why when Jesus said to His disciples, you know, you can have the faith of a mustard seed and tell a mountain to jump into an ocean and it'll do it. You know, He wasn't trying to teach people how to be landscape architects. He was pointing out that the size of your faith or the strength of your faith is not important. The object of your faith is. And when we boast in the cross, we're not boasting in anything that we've achieved or anything we've conjured up or anything that we've been able to show for ourselves. Instead, we are boasting in the objective reality of the Son of God choosing to suffer and die for us so that we don't have to. That we can have life with Him in eternity. And when we learn to revel in that and say, that alone is everything for me, when we know how much God has done for us in Jesus and we hold on to that dearly, then we are set free from having anything that we do or say or are a part of being burdened by having to meet a need that it's not designed to meet. So, for example, I had to sell a motorbike when we had kids. Turns out you can't get a baby seat on the back safely. And for... how old are you, Xavier? Nearly eight? You're seven? So for 7 years, I've been wanting a motorbike, and thankfully, the day is getting closer when I'll get another one. I don't know how close it is yet, but it's getting closer. When I get that motorbike, I can enjoy it for what it is. Right? I can get back on the bike, and I can ride around, and I can enjoy just the silence, because all you can hear is the engine, and there's no music or kids or anything else, just the open road. I can enjoy it for purely what it is and what it's designed to do. Or I could turn around and say, I want the motorbike because I want my wife to think I'm edgy. Or I want the youth at church to think I'm cool, and by saying I want them to think I'm cool, I'm definitely not. Right? Or all of a sudden I can turn that motorbike into a means to get something else. Right? I've added a burden to it that doesn't belong with it. In the same way, when we are using whatever we have or whatever we're doing to be something that bolsters us up, to give us something to boast in, to be proud of, that's effectively what we're doing. You know, our job isn't something we do for the pleasure of it. I'm doing this so that I can prove that I'm successful and that I'm powerful and I can do this. You know, our families, then you've got to have the perfect family, because if that's what you're going to boast in, then they've got to get everything right. You know, and that not only burdens you, it burdens everyone. When we boast in the cross, when we say that and that alone is what brings beauty and joy and wholeness and fullness in my life, then everything else can be enjoyed purely for the pleasure of what they bring. Your family is a gift from God. It doesn't have to meet any other expectation. Your job is an opportunity to join God in creatively changing the world around you. You can enjoy the opportunities and relish the challenges. That's what the power of the cross does. By being free to boast in it and it alone, we find true joy in the rest of our lives. Because nothing else has to prop us up and give us something to be proud of. And when we learn to boast in the cross, we learn the power and the means to express ourselves in our lives in a way that brings flourishing and fullness. You know, for about 30, 40 years, people have been talking about the self-esteem movement. All right, it started in the 80s. Did you know they knew it failed in about 85? Like, that's how quickly they realised that telling people to prop themselves up and to say, no, you're special, you're great, everyone gets a prize. You know, we thought if we just kept telling people that, we would make it happen. And they learned really quickly that it actually had the opposite effect. That people could see through it, because we tried to prop people up by their circumstances and by what they were doing. And people know deep down that, you know, it's not always that great, it's not always that perfect. And you say, you're fantastic, and people are going, no, I'm not. You know, when everyone got a trophy, the people who caught on most about how fake that was the one who came last. Because they knew deep down that they'd come last. But we wanting to build people up and giving something to be proud of, conjured up, made up, pretended things to say, see, you can be proud of yourself because you tried. Like, well, you tried, but you came last. And that's actually okay. And so the whole self-esteem movement, what they've actually found is it did untold damage. You can't build people up in fluffy circumstances because we see through it. And so we try other things and we make stuff up. It's like why social media exists, so that we can make stuff up about ourselves and have nobody challenge it. Right? I can put it out there, and if you don't know me, you don't know any better. Right? So I'll put up this personality of what I want you to think of me, of the person that I would be proud of if I could meet it, and then you'll be proud of that. And then sitting behind, I still know that I don't. So it hasn't actually fixed anything. It's only made the problem deeper. We learn to boast in the cross, in what Jesus has done for us. He looks at us and he knows our faults deeper than we do. He knows the things we struggle with more than we do. And through the cross, he looks at us and calls us beautiful and wonderful and perfect. Knows us completely and still boasts in us. And that's his gift to us. Right? That's not something we've earned. That's a gift that he just hands to us. That status, that position, that place in his family is just something he pours out for us as his people and said, so relish in this. And this means that no matter what we face in life, good or bad, in ourselves or outside of ourselves, everything is powerless compared to the power of the cross. Everything is powerless compared to what Jesus has done for us. And it's not like he does it and says, see, feel better because I've done this. The cross, he actually gives it to us, his status, his place. This morning, as Albert and Isla were baptized, they didn't just say, here, learn about Jesus and feel better about yourself. He said, the place that he had as the Son of God, the perfect, unblemished Lamb, the most beloved and treasured person in heaven, that is your status. That is who you are as God's people. By the power of the cross, it becomes our nature and our place in him. And everything else can't come close to measuring up to that gift. And nothing can take that gift from us. So here's the question. What are you boasting in? You go, it's easy. Nothing. I'm a humble person. Just ask me. Okay, put it another way. What do you want to be known for? Above all else, what do you want people to say about you? That's what you boast in. So how smart you are, how funny, how witty. Is it that you have a motorbike? I don't know. Does it matter? Paul said he counts everything lost for the gain of the cross. He said, I'll boast in the cross because in it I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. In other words, I have been set free from every demand, every other pressure, every other challenge, all that cross and stuff, you know, that comes after. He said, I'm free from that. I don't have to worry about that because I have the esteem and the love of God. And just like as children love to hear that their parents are proud of them, you know, we look for someone or something to say that they're proud of us, and God says it each and every day. So what are you boasting in? Are you caught up in the cross end? Or maybe even not that far, just other things. You know, is it your spiritual experiences, or it is your ability to quote the scriptures, or is it your ability to live a good life or make sense of difficult circumstances? You know, what are the things that we add to the list that all of a sudden we start to tell people, ah, yeah, but you know, it's great that you've got Jesus, but are you doing this as well, or are you doing that? Are you meeting this expectation? You know, we need to be very wary of the ends. As God's people, we can only boast in the cross. And maybe you're on the flip side of that where you go, yeah, you know, I know about Jesus, but I don't pray enough and I don't have the spiritual experiences. I don't know what my gifts are. I don't seem to fit anywhere. Maybe there's something deficient in me that if I get right, then God will be proud of me and then, you know, blessings will flow or whatever else. Either of those extremes, we don't yet understand grace. You know, if you go either way, where you are proud of extra experiences, the ands, or you're despairing because you don't have them, both of those challenge us to come back, to know the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus and on his cross, and to revel and to relish that above all else. And in that, we find true freedom. In that you have the esteem and the love of God who knows you completely. In that you have a Father in heaven who will boast in you and never stop. In the cross of Christ, you have all the fullness of God given to you. Now you tell me, what else in heaven or on earth can make that kind of a promise? So let us boast in the cross of Christ and it alone. To say it is in the cross that every gift flows, and it's in the cross that we live and dwell, and it is in the cross that we know the love of our Father, our heavenly future, and every good thing for this earth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your cross. Though even at the time people wouldn't even dare to mention it, your people began to boast in it. That even now, where it's commonplace, we may know the power and the beauty of the cross, of your suffering and your death for us, your victory over sin and death and the devil. Lord Jesus, help us, like Paul, to count all else but lost for the beauty of the cross. That we may boast in it, because in it you boast in us. In your name we pray. Amen.